So Brother Corey introduced us to the man of God. Did you know that phrase, man of God, only occurs two times in the New Testament? Did you know that? It occurs about 70 times in the Old Testament, used a number of times in the book of Jeremiah. But that phrase, man of God, occurs only two times. It occurs the first time that Brother Corey introduced us to in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The second time it occurs is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you've read this scripture over and over and over again in your life. But I want you to listen to these words, and I want to ask you to let them sink deep into your heart. Verse 17 says, so that the man of God, okay, you ready? The man of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. Now, Brother Corey did a tremendous job explaining to us what this man of God looks like, what he's supposed to do. But in this passage, what I want you to notice is verse 16, because he prefaces why this man of God is able to be fully capable, why he is able to be equipped for every good work. Listen carefully. All scripture. Did you hear that, brothers? All scripture. Not some scripture, not a little bit of scripture, not parts of the scripture, but all scripture. There is no other book that has ever been written that could describe itself and give a complimentary statement about that book and say every word in this book is a good word, or every word in this book is sufficient, or every word in this book will help you in your life. But the Bible claims and it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is beneficial. It's beneficial for teaching, for reproof or rebuke, for correction, for instruction, for training in righteousness. So my topic is the man of the word. This is the word. This is the word that we must preach. This is the word that we must teach. This is the word that must guide us. This is the word that we must live by. So what does a man of the word look like? I have five statements I want to share with you, just five. Number one, the man of the word is a man who is close to God. He's close to God. Look, you can know every word of this book, but if you don't know the author, your life is in deep trouble. You can know all of the scriptures. You can quote all of the scriptures. But if you are not close to God, this very word that is meant to instruct you and to build you up and to give you hope and to give you something to live for can destroy you if you're not close to the author. So a man of God must be close to God. Well, how do we get close to God? The same way we get close to people in our lives. We spend time with them. We get to know them. We learn them. We spend time talking with them. We talk about life to them. We talk about family to them. We talk about marriage to them. We talk about sin to them. We talk about how to escape sin. We get close to people by spending time with them, by communicating with them, by listening to them communicate to us. And that's the same way that we are going to be close to God, by spending time with God. We must spend more time with God than we do with anybody else. If we're going to be men of the word, we've got to be close to God. Number two, men of the word are men who are close to the word of God. They're close to the word of God. They love the word of God. They believe that the word of God is inspired of God. They believe that the word of God provides purpose for living. They believe that the word of God instructs us in righteousness. They believe that the word of God rebukes us and the word of God corrects us. And they believe that the word of God gives us hope. Paul is going to write to Titus in Titus chapter 2 about this hope. And he said, we are looking for toward the coming of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is that fact that gives us hope. And if you're going to be a man who is close to the word of God, you've got to know the word of God. When Jesus was in the wilderness, and remember he was tempted by Satan, we have in our accounts of the Bible, we have three temptations, but he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And if anybody believes that he was only tempted by Satan three times, you've missed the point. He was tempted by Satan over and over and over again, and the text seems to indicate that it happened over and over and over again. And how did Jesus respond to Satan every time? How did he respond? It is written. Would you say those words with me? It is written. The greatest way to defeat Satan is by saying, it is written, by knowing the word of God. David said, I have hid your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And it's not about just being able to quote the word of God, but it's about knowing the word of God. And Jesus knew the word of God. And when Satan comes to Christ, Jesus doesn't say, well, let me see. I've got my pocket Old Testament here. Let me pull it out and see if I can find any scripture that will help me with this. He knew the scripture. He knew what he needed for that specific time. He was close to the word of God. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to grow closer to the word of God every day in your life. And when you need it the most, the word of God will bring comfort to your heart. Some of you in this room, understand what I'm about to say. 6 years ago, my wife passed away. It was the hardest, most difficult days of my life. But the greatest comfort that I received was from the Word of God. A man of God has to be close to the Word of God. Number three, a man of God has to be close to the people of God. We've got to be close to the people of God. One of the key issues in our life as men is who do we spend time with in our lives? Who are we surrounded by? Some of you guys go to work every day, and unfortunately, you work with people, some of you who don't know anything about the Word of God. And they really maybe don't know anything about God, and they may not care. And you hear them talk, and you spend time listening to them, and they may be your boss, or they may be your employee or your employer, or they may be somebody that you work with, and you spend time with them. Some of you guys are in school, and you go to school, and you spend time with people who may not be close to God. We've got to find a way in our lives to be close to people of God. And it has to be more than 3 hours on Sunday and 1 hour on Wednesday. That's not going to get it. We've got to have people of God in our lives all the time. We've got to help them grow and listen to them as they help us grow. We have to teach our children how to grow and how to be more like Christ. We've got to teach our children how to react to the world. We've got to teach our children how to follow God. I've got three grandchildren, and my youngest grandson, he's now 8 years old, and when he was three, my children lived in Oklahoma. I was living in Texas, and after my wife passed away, I would drive up to Oklahoma and visit them, and we had this kind of routine. I would take the children. They had a small house, only had three bedrooms in it, and they didn't have room for me to sleep. There was no place for me to sleep, so I went and got a hotel. And I took my grandchildren to spend the night with me. And, you know, at midnight, we had ice cream and milkshakes and popcorn. And then I took them back to the kids the next day, and they hated me for that. And I didn't care. But my youngest grandson, Forrest, he wouldn't go with me because he wasn't old enough. I said, why don't you go? He said, Pops, I'm not old enough. He was three. I said, when will you be old enough? He said, when I'm 4 years old, I'll be old enough. So he had his fourth birthday. He went and got his stuff. I said, where are you going, Forrest? He said, Pops, I'm four. I'm going to spend the night with you tonight. So we went on to the hotel, and we're on the 10th floor of this hotel. My other grandchildren were coming later. We got up to the floor, and, you know, nowadays in hotels, they give you these magnetic keys. And we got up there, and the key didn't work, and the second key didn't work. We went back down to the first floor. We got two more keys. The first key didn't work, and the second key didn't work. My grandson, getting frustrated, he said, Pops, do we have to go all the way back down there? And I said, no, we're going to call the front desk. They're going to send a maintenance guy up here. He's going to open the door. So I called the front desk, and they said he'll be there in 10 minutes. Well, you can guess how that went. About 30 minutes, he hadn't showed up. About 40 minutes, he hadn't showed up. I saw a guy get off the elevator about 45 minutes. I said to my grandson, I said, Forrest, I think the guy is coming to open the door. What do you want to do when he gets here? He said, Pops, when that guy gets here, I'm going to punch him in the face. So, of course, you know, that's what I wanted to do, too. I wanted to punch the guy in the face, but I thought, okay, I'm the adult here. I've got to teach my grandson. So I sat him down. David, I gave him a three-point sermon. Brother Billy would have been really proud. I said, Forrest, number one, I said, you cannot punch people in the face every time something doesn't go your way in life. There are going to be a lot of things that aren't going to go your way. I said, number two, I said, Jesus would not want you to punch that guy in the face. And I said, number three, Christians don't punch people in the face. And my four-year-old grandson looked at me and said, Pops, I'm only 4 years old. I'm not a Christian. I'm going to punch him in the face. Then I'm thinking, okay, get all that sin, you know, out of him while he's four and hope that he grows. I want my children and my grandchildren to be around people of God. A man of the word has to be close to the people of God. Number four, a man of the word has to be right with himself, and he has to be right with God. He has to be, look, our ultimate goal and reality in life is not, and I hope you'll understand the context of what I'm saying, it's not that we have to be right with everybody else in the world. It's not our job to please everybody in the world. And if you're a preacher, you're an elder, you understand we can't even please everybody in the church. But what we have to do, if we're going to be men of the word, is we have to be right with ourselves, and we have to be right with our Maker. And every day, you're going to look in the mirror, and you're going to have to ask yourself, am I right with myself today? Am I right with God today? A man of the word has to be right with himself, and he has to be right with God. And number five, a man of the word, and I'm going to dovetail on what Brother Corey said, a man of the word has to be bold and fearless. He has to be bold and fearless. You look in the book of Acts, and you read about those men of God. When they went to city after city after city, you know what was often said about them? They're bold men. They boldly proclaimed the word of God. They weren't afraid if their lives were taken, if they were thrown into prison, if they were ridiculed and mocked. They were bold and fearless. They were men who weren't recognized for their scholarship or their knowledge. They were recognized because they had spent time with Jesus. And when we spend time with Jesus, we will become men who are bold and fearless. We will boldly proclaim the word of God without any fear, without any shame, without any trepidation. We will be bold and we will be fearless. And Jesus would say to those men over and over and over again, what? Fear not. Fear not, I'm with you. I do a lot of traveling. David mentioned this. I literally live in hotels. I sleep every night in a hotel, have for over 3 years now. I spend a lot of time eating meals by myself in places where I'm speaking or something, and I may not know many people. And sometimes, you know, you like that. I mean, sometimes I like being by myself. But I've got to be a person, and you've got to be a person of God, who's not afraid to do the will of God wherever you are, whenever, whatever life throws at you, whenever you're called upon to be a man of God. May God help us. May He help us to be close to Him. May He help us to be close to His Word. May He help us to be close to His people. May He help us be right with Him and right with ourselves. And may He help us be bold and fearless. Thank you for being that kind of man.